The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. Javier.
Clinical muscle starts. The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle and Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. VJ Puri. Along with me, as always, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Good morning, my friend. Good morning.
Bright and early. This is how we do it.
Yeah, we're back on a roll. See, football season is now over for my kids. So
jeez, it took long enough. Jeez, like that. It's like the NFL season.
Yeah, we got to talk about that because really we should be playing this morning. But that, I'll get into some fucked up shit shenanigans that went on and screwed our kids. But anyway, yeah, we could, now that we're back, and this is kind of the season I start to get myself together, you know, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to get the show out more frequently. Hopefully, do some more Sunday morning recordings,
sure.
Instead of random here and there when our schedules allow. So what the hell? What's going on?
Oh, man. Same old stuff. You know, it's been like probably 3 weeks now, and I'm still trying to kick this fucking virus. Can you believe that?
It's not Ebola.
I don't know what it is. Hopefully I'm not HIV positive or something, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, don't even go there. When I was a teenager, every time I got a cold, that's what I thought.
Because you were a teenager in the 80s, that's why. Everybody had AIDS.
Dude, they made that shit like, I mean, if that didn't put the fear of God in you.
No kidding.
You're about to get me started on a rant too, by the way. Just that quick, you got me started because listen, nice. You know, you would think that we do a great job on sexually transmitted infection education and, you know, because of HIV and all this other shit. But I still see every day multiple people with STDs because they're having unsafe sex, which is crazy to me. It's like – and they're young people who should know better too. Like if they grew up – if they were around when I was young, when HIV really came on, you wouldn't want to touch the fucking wall. You know, you're thinking everything's going to give you a disease. So anyway.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what's going on? You still got a productive cough thing?
Yeah, productive cough and just the congestion, nasal congestion. Like I blow my nose all the time still. It's not as bad. You can tell it's getting better. But I've never had, you know, this lingering like this before with other.
Yeah, it's been since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, jeez.
And you're almost at Christmas. Matter of fact, today is 1 week till Christmas. Can you believe it?
That's nuts, man. That is crazy. I haven't done like any shopping. Like I'm like so last minute with that stuff.
Did I tell you about the package we got stolen from our house?
From your place?
From my freaking house. And
what?
Did I tell you about that?
No.
Well, I can announce it now because he won't hear this show. It'll be till after Christmas, I think, or else I won't let him listen to it and I'll have to kill him. So Santa Claus, my son doesn't believe in Santa, by the way. So I hope no kids are listening. If they are, Santa is the man. He comes down your fake chimney even. Mm-hmm. So he's a big fat guy, squeezes through crevices. But so fucking FedEx, dude. I mean, I can't blame them. I don't know what happened, but we ordered – you ever go to an arcade and you see – like, you know, Stevie's fucking infatuated with basketball too, right?
Uh-huh, I mean, sure, yeah.
He'll make little holes in the wall just to shoot a ball through it. You know what I mean? So yeah, so we whenever we go out or anything, you know, arcades. You know the basketball games where you put the money in and you shoot as fast as you can and keep score? Yeah, that's his favorite thing when we go somewhere and they have one like down the beach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he don't really ask for anything for Christmas anymore. Him and my daughter are like, well, they can't even think of what they need. They got everything, you know. So me and Christine came up with this idea to get him one of those, like a full size.
That's fucking awesome, man. Like that's a great gift. That's fucking awesome.
So funny thing is, so long story short is, this was a while ago. This was like November. This was several weeks ago. It was supposed to come on a Thursday. We didn't think about it. We were getting ready to leave the house. And I looked at the tracking because Christine was like, look, he's going to come home from football practice. You need to make sure, you know, he don't look at the front steps, because this thing is probably – the package is probably the size of a – I mean
– like a refrigerator, right? Like that's like
– at least a TV.
Yeah, you know, at like least. That's a huge box.
70-inch TV. You know what I mean? Like it's going to be a big fucking box on the step. You can't miss this. So I was like, all right, I'll keep an eye on the tracking. Long story short is, check the tracking. It said delivered. Mm. I'm like, all right. These dudes, they hire a lot of fucking – seasonal people. Mm-hmm. I said the dude probably didn't want to get, you know, fucking in trouble. He probably scanned it, delivered. He's going to deliver it tomorrow. Friday comes, no package. We let it go one more day. Saturday comes, no package. It still says deliver. So I call and it says it was delivered Thursday at noon, and we were home, you know, around that time. You know, we were doing errands and shit. So, you know, so I call FedEx and they're like, no, it definitely was delivered. Did you search your property? And I'm like,
it's the size of a refrigerator, man. What the fuck? I got to search my property.
I'm not talking about a diamond ring. I'm talking about a box the size of a small fucking couch. Like, there's no searching the property. This took effort for someone to put it there. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, fast forward. Long story short is, they put it in, did an investigation. He definitely said he delivered it. It's fucking gone, dude. We never got it. We bought another one.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
Isn't that fuck? Keep an eye on your shit. I wish I had outside cameras, but I don't.
But I'm not, I mean, you don't live in the ghetto or anything. You live in a nice area. That's like,
and people drive around and follow them trucks, man. Jeez. I heard the criminals do that, like, during this time of year. They'll, like, follow the FedEx trucks and wait till they see something great and take their opportunity if nobody's around. I mean, that's the only thing I can come – it's gone. I mean, it was definitely – I mean, the guy said it was definitely delivered. They talked to him. They did some kind of investigation. They called us back, like, a week later.
That's
and annoying. And they just said, you know, call your shipper and see if you had insurance on it and whatever. But isn't that fucking crazy?
That's something big. That's awful, man. That's unfortunate. I feel terrible for you guys. That's awful. I would be fucking flipping out. I'd hunt this motherfucker down.
You know, I was so pissed because, like, I had to run out and buy another one. But this time I went and found one and picked it up.
It's the principle. It's not even the thing. It's the principle that some fucking dirty, disgusting scumbag came onto your property and took a giant box away from you. You know what I mean?
It had to be more. The only other theory I can think of is that the fucking FedEx guy was dirty.
I guess that could be it too. Yeah.
You know, he probably saw it and was like, that looks like a nice little package. Let's scan, deliver, and take it over to his boy Billy's house and drop it off there. And then later on after work, we'll come back and get it with the truck. You know?
Yeah. The FedEx. The FedEx guy was probably like a college basketball star who'd never made it in the NBA or something. So he was like, I know what this is. I'm going to put it in my house. I deserve it. I've earned it. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. And then, golly. So anyway, that was a Christmas story.
Man, that's crazy.
Hey, you going away for the holidays? Are you guys going to either the Canada or over to
We're actually going to Iowa. We're going to Iowa. Yep. So we'll spend, I think, like four nights there, 4 or 5 nights there, something like that. But yeah, it'll be fun. That's my last hurrah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'll be right there with you.
Are you? Okay, cool.
I'm going to kick it in gear on Boxing Day with
that's
you.
That's it. My man. That's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing. That was my plan all along. I was like, Boxing Day is go.
I said, you know what? Football's over. Everything else is over. I don't have no stress. I can be like
– starving.
Good. Really good. Yeah. So – but – oh, man. So that – yeah. So that's good. You'll spend a few days there. You'll feed your face, and then you'll be sick of food.
Iowa is like – I mean the best thing about – other than seeing my family is all the food because we get like farm –
That's what all holidays are about. I mean, God.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Farm fresh foods, you know, and my mother-in-law and my wife and my sister-in-law are all like amazing bakers, you know. So there's going to be fresh baked cookies, fresh baked pecan pies. I'm like, come on. Like you got to go nuts, right?
Oh, you know what's funny? We talked about pecan pie before the holidays last year on the show, and I still haven't ever had it.
What the hell, man?
I keep eating all kinds of other shit. I can't fit that in.
Okay, well, I know what I'm sending you for Christmas, and I need to do it like now. So
right.
Yeah, I'm sending one to you. You better eat it.
Hell yeah. I'll video it.
All right, good.
My Insta story.
Nice. Nice. I like it.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. So, yep.
So Boxing Day is go time for both of us then, huh?
I used Boxing Day because I'd never even heard of that till you said it. Is that like basically the day people see? To me, it sounds like your Boxing Day should be the day you're putting things in boxes. But I think that's really Exchange Day, isn't it?
I think
like
that's
running
what it,
back to the store to give the shit back.
Yeah, and it turns into like the day after Christmas when all the stores are open and everybody gets gift cards, essentially, right? So everyone goes nuts and goes to the mall and stuff. So
okay,
yeah, it's kind of like a Black Friday
in reverse,
kind of. Yeah, exactly, because everything is on sale too. You know, there's stuff that's like half, like 50% off and 40% off and whatever else. So it actually comes out to be a pretty good deal. I guess we'll find out.
Will they have chicken and fish for 40% off? Because that's what I'll be shopping for.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. No, definitely not in Canada. Everything is more expensive there.
Hey, listen. Not to change the subject, but funny, that little thing that we got sent over from Scott. The first three words you see.
Oh yeah, the crossword puzzle.
Yeah. I get love, marriage, nachos. You get love, marriage,
penis.
I'm still trying to figure out why you got penis and whose penis it was getting. You're gonna get.
I don't know. I like I said, I wish I knew. You know? Because if it's not mine, I hope it's like, you know, giant or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Then at least you can fake it.
Because I can make an event out of it or something. Like, look at this thing. I put this on Facebook. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see. This was like a look at the first three words in this crossword puzzle. Because the whole thing was just filled with you know, random words and stuff. And this will dictate what your 2018 will be. That was like the thing. So, yeah, those are the three words that I saw first.
That's fucking hilarious.
I wish I saw what Scott saw. He saw, like, butt, sex, and nachos. I was like, man, that sounds like a good evening, good. Right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
That sounds like a Christmas miracle to me.
Who needs Boxing Day? When you got sex or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. I'm gonna send my boxing day pictures to Shelby, and he's gonna be like, oh my god, these are fucking terrible. I know it.
And you're gonna go like 2 years ago. You're gonna go with Shelby, and you're definitely gonna get lean.
Yeah. So
that's because you did your diet with him like 2 years ago, right?
Yep, I did. Yep. He's my guy. He's my guy. Yeah. If I don't take care of myself, like if I sometimes I'll do it myself, but even when I do it myself, I'm just like kind of half-assing it, you know, which is fine because I'm not getting ready for like an event or anything. But if someone else is doing it, like I become completely coachable. So I like that about it.
I've been thinking about that myself lately.
It's nice. Yeah. It is. It's like. I don't know, man. You should do it. You could just send your stuff to Scott or send your stuff to me, man. We'll take care of it for you.
Yeah, I actually been thinking about that. When you have you can be accountable to yourself, but you get to the point where you're like, do I need to drop this another 100 calories?
Right. Yeah.
You probably should, but because you're like, you know what I mean, unless you're getting ready for something, then you'll do it. You know.
Yeah. How long are you gonna go for? What are you thinking?
I'm gonna get ready for summer, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm already late. I usually start in November.
Mm.
But because of football, that's what I was saying before. We never played football this long.
Yeah.
My son was in that extra couple games in that tournament, which is fucked up because we really should be playing a tournament this weekend. But you know what? This is a fucked up thing. If you're out there and you got kids that play sports, do me a favor. Let your fucking kid play the sports. Don't live fucking vicariously through your children to the point that you're disrupting things. So here's what happened. Last weekend, unfortunately, at that tournament we were in, a team from New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
Who apparently had a coach who was maybe nutty. I don't know. And families, the whole team must have been, you know, just straight up fucking gangster.
Mm-hmm.
They basically fucking lost the game, and everyone on the sideline, including the coach and all the 15-year-old players, just attacked people. Helmets swinging, hitting people with helmets.
Jesus! What the
fuck? After the game, we pulled back up for our second game, and there was like 12, 15 state troopers there. You know, people were jumping fences, running out. So,
my God,
this had nothing to do. And so it was in the newspaper. And then so
that's embarrassing.
Exactly. What? What for is... our league. And really what it did was it made our – it was the first time our league hosted any kind of tournament like that. And it put a bad light on us. Like, like our guys run our league didn't know what they were doing or we're some kind of hoodlum. And by the way, the two teams involved in the big prop weren't even from our league. They were two other teams. And it really was just one team. They literally – dude, there's pictures and videos online. I mean, if you – they ran across the field and were on the other team's sideline. The whole team, the coach, freaking parents fighting, swinging helmets on people, kicking people. Like it was like a war. Like
that's awful.
Over children's football.
My God. What the hell? What's wrong with you? The coach must have been drunk too, or like super, you know – high on like cocaine or something, you know.
I mean, look, if you're you can't, and the just purely from what I heard, the coach said to them, "You do what you got to do." To the kids, and so they all went crazy, and the whole place just went nuts, and it was just really bad. And so, long story short is, as the week progressed, the tournament, other than that, was great. There was a couple other little things. I guess we got pressure from the school district because they got wind of that because we were renting the high school football fields and I don't know.
It's
bad light. And I mean, it comes down to this.
It turns into a huge mess for a lot of people.
And then, yeah, so then they ended up – we were supposed to host another tournament, another big tournament this week, which is sad because, like, my son was looking forward to it. We paid for it. A bunch of teams from out of other states paid for it. And they had to cancel it because the school – number one, we may not have had a place to play the tournament because the school district was giving them, you know, like, problem. Like, yo, you can't – we can't have that here.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And it just shed a bad light on it. And it was the first time they tried. And it was awesome tournament. Man, my kid did great.
All it takes, man, is a few fucking a-holes to ruin it for everybody. You know what I mean?
I just don't understand. If you take children's football that serious to where you are angry and you want to fight people and you're a coach and you tell your team to go – you shouldn't even be involved with that shit. Like, you can't be that kind of person. That's not teaching them anything. That's just turning them into criminals, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm assuming this team was full of little criminals. That's what – I mean, because
they're definitely criminals in training.
Right, exactly. Because I can tell you right now, if we were losing a game 100-0, and I looked at my son and I said, "Stevie, run across that field and smack that kid in the head with your helmet," he'd look at me like, "Are you fucking losing?"
I can just look at me like that.
Are you fucking real? Are you nuts? Like, what are you talking about? That's, you know, my son's 12. He knows better than that. He wouldn't do that. So we're talking about something deeper than just sports. That team from that area, whatever, just deeper than sports. You know what I mean? Like, they had a bunch of bad kids on the team. In other words, you know.
Yeah.
You know, who would do that? So, anyway, that's why we're talking now, which is good. And I'm not at football rooting on my son for his last game. Which is fine because it was cold as fuck out there.
Yeah, it was. You guys were in a snowstorm. Did you guys get the same snowstorm that we did? That's fucked up. That was crazy.
I think so, but I doubt it was bad because I heard you guys talking on BNR like you guys got slammed.
We did.
Good, right?
We got slammed, man. It was like – I think it ended up being like almost 2 feet of snow. That's what I got out of it from shoveling. It was crazy.
You don't have to do cardio them days for sure.
No. That was the cool part, except, you know, it probably made me more sick having to fucking shovel, like being that – frigid cold for like an hour and a half to shovel and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think so. It was the same storm. We got maybe 4 to 6 inches. It was,
oh, that ain't nothing.
Nah. Well, for around here, it'll shut the town down for a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You guys just you know, you don't even shovel that.
Yeah, we'll just drive over that. Everyone's got trucks out here, anyways.
It was cool to. My son got to play in this in like legit. Snow covered, deep snow.
That's cool.
So cool. The pictures. One of the families took a bunch of pictures. They look so fucking cool.
Yeah. It. You know, when you're. I remember playing in the snow. Obviously, I was. You know, I'm Canadian, and those were some of the funnest games. To be honest with you, like you weren't even cold.
That's what he said.
Like you were when you were moving around, man. You weren't cold at all. It was just when you were on the sideline. that was gold. But other than that, it was like
shivering.
Oh yeah, though some of our funnest games were was when it was snowing by far.
Yeah, I would love to have. I don't think I ever got to. I don't think that's ever happened to me where I played in like a real game in the snow like that. I mean, it was so snow and we couldn't even see the lines in the field, you know. So it was really cool.
Yeah, I remember in high school we had a rink and it was an outdoor rink, you know. And so we would do like we'd play hockey in the winter for like gym class or whatever, you know. And some of those games where it was just like snowing. It was like a downpour of snow. This is in Ottawa, Canada, by the way. So it's like the fucking coldest place on earth. And it was just like downpour with snow, and you'd be outside skating and freezing your balls off.
Oh, that's crazy.
At least I was, because I was a goalie, so I wasn't moving a whole lot, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but those were still fun times. We do a lot of stuff.
Oh, and then you're just taking the hard shots with that after you're freezing cold. I bet that's
Oh no, I just let them go into the net. I'm like, fuck this. This
you're like the worst kind of goalie.
I'll block like a few shots with my stick and then
slow moving.
And then I'll just move over slightly. I'll be just like, go, just don't hit me. It's fucking cold out here.
That's terrible.
Oh man, good times. So, Doc, we've got questions here. What do you say we attack some of these questions here, and it'll make for a quicker show? But I these are great, man. You know, we don't have to go that long, you know, for shows.
We just gotta get them answered and keep sending them in, guys. Yeah. We appreciate it, and I love that we're getting a lot more to the forum.
I love it too. It
makes it so much easier, and it actually makes doing the show easier. To be honest, I mean,
yeah. Well, and then nobody like gets you know their feelings hurt over it either. You know what I mean? It's like because all the questions are right there. You know, it's not on the emails we're forgetting stuff left and right.
Yeah, and now that we actually figured out that we probably should sign in to read stuff,
yeah,
makes it even better.
Yeah, it does. It does. So if you
apparently a few people, I think Nags mentioned this to me. He said he had been listening to the show a couple times and was like, "Sign in, you assholes!"
Oh, he's like screaming at us in the computer.
Yeah, he's like, "I almost was going to tell you guys that." They're like, "You're probably not signing in, but I figured you did or something." You know, I'm like, "No."
He's like, "I figured you guys weren't that dumb. You couldn't screw that up."
We're C students.
Oh, man. So, hey, if you got questions, get on forum.advicesradio.com. Click on bodybuilding and discussion. That'll send you over to a whole slew of subjects and topics and stuff. But click on the clinical muscle thread, and you can submit your question there. Super easy. We do have the Gmail account still. That's clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. But we would prefer the boards. They're just much easier, and you can remain pretty anonymous there too. So let's attack the boards here, Doc. What do you say?
Yeah, one more thing. I hope my sound is decent this week. I'm in a different room with a different headset. So I'm hoping it comes out pretty good.
You got kicked out of your room, right?
Yeah, the wifey's like, I gotta do cardio early. I want to get this done. So I'm like,
she's been running a lot, huh? Has she been doing like a lot of running and like outside running and stuff?
Yeah, more than normal. But it's got now that it's freaking cold out, she's back. But she was getting into that again for a little while. Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah. I know. Women do really well with running. I don't know what it is, like metabolically or hormonally, but they don't seem to lose any muscle. In fact, they sometimes tend to put on muscle.
Yeah, in the legs, right?
And even like across the upper back, they start to put on muscle. I don't know what it is. Like if those are just, you know, postural muscles in the upper body.
Maybe when they're running, they're holding tension in their traps and stuff or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it could very well be, but it's interesting. You see guys that are long-distance runners, they all look like shit.
Yeah,
right? Super skinny fat. That's what they're
– Okay, you said it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't mind saying anything, really.
No, come on. I don't got a license to revoke. Fuck this.
Exactly.
All right, man. Let's hit these.
That's why I'm like. There's questions. I'm like, yeah, we'll let VJ go crazy on this one.
You'll just pause and wait for me to say something dumb.
And then I'll say, I agree.
This question here from the boards. We'll start with this first one here. Right Honorable Doctors, what are your thoughts on LabCorp's decision this past summer to lower the reference range for total testosterone? The old reference range was 348 to 1197 nanograms per deciliter. Now the new one is 264 to 916 nanograms per deciliter. For some men, this would undoubtedly make it more difficult to be prescribed testosterone, to have that prescription covered by insurance. I attached an FAQ put out by LabCorp in which they present their rationale for the changes. The new range is based on a 2017 study of 9,000 non-obese males. I've also read that the average testosterone levels in male have been in males have been steadily declining since the mid-20th century. Rather than diagnose more men with hypogonadism, LabCorp decides to just readjust the reference range to fit the new normal of lower testosterone levels. To me, this seems to be comparable to LabCorp running a study and finding out that more and more people are meeting the criteria for being labeled pre-diabetic and deciding to alter the associated reference range so fewer people will be labeled as pre-diabetic. Does this mean that those people suddenly don't have a problem because LabCorp study showed that fasting blood glucose of 150 is now normal or no longer considered high? No, makes no sense to me. Sorry, this gets me a little heated. What are your thoughts, Docs? Doc, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I have to be honest. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It's news to me.
Until he just said it. And I find it interesting. And I mean, I can't say for sure why they would do this. And I was reading the thing he sent us. And it doesn't really, except for the study that they did, it doesn't really, to me, kind of say what their thought process is with this lowering, except I agree with him.
It's like they're deterring people.
It's like they're almost deterred. They don't want the doctors to prescribe people with TRT. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. The lower we can make it, the less, because to be honest with you, I mean, the fact of the matter is, when we do order testosterone, especially from like a guy like me, okay, if I was still in family medicine and I wrote you a prescription for testosterone, two things are probably going to happen, unless of course you pay out of pocket.
Yes.
As soon as you turn into a lot of things, maybe not, but a lot of insurance companies. As soon as you turn that prescription into the pharmacist for your Cipinate, it's going to get declined, and they're going to want me to send them your lab results, proving. Which to get what's called a prior auth, proving that not only you've tried Androgel first and fucking whatever else, Testostim over the counter, I don't know, but they want to make sure your level is, and for your own doctor's purposes to sort of CYA thing, cover your ass, you really want to have a lab, that's qualifies someone being in the first instance 347. Right? That would make it's less than normal. That could say abnormal with symptoms as opposed to – so long story short, it almost – I mean, I don't know why they would do that. I didn't know they did that. I thought it was still like 3-something or 275. They even lowered the top range of normal, which I think is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would do it, but yeah, it's almost like they are trying to deter that. And I don't know why they would have – why they would care. Right.
I don't know why they would care. I mean, like realistically, these things don't get like changed or stuff doesn't get passed unless it really comes down to a dollar figure. So you know what
That's
I mean?
What like, I'm thinking.
So my thinking here is that they don't want doctors making a ton of money off this stuff. You know what I mean? They don't want doctors paying charging patients and then paying out of having them pay out of pocket. Not when they can. That can be controlled by some sort of insurance company or something, I don't know, man. It's weird. I just don't. I think they just don't want doctors making money off of TRT.
Yeah, it's almost like they're some. I hate to be conspiracy theorist, but it's like the government is involved here and LabCorp is working with them. And they're like, we need to cut this back a little bit.
I'm sure these
commercials on TV.
Yes. Yeah.
It's because it's
big business and they want to monopolize, right? So this is just one step for them to get closer to a monopoly on that. You know what I mean? It has to do with LabCorp. They're just a lab service. What do they have to do with? Chances are they're being bought off by fucking
by some
giant pharmaceutical company buying them.
And the other thing is, anytime I've said this before, like. That's a lot of people, 9,000. But to make a wholesale change like this over 9,000, I mean, over one study, it just seems kind of weird to me.
But the study doesn't even say anything. It doesn't say, like, why. All it says is what we did. It doesn't give us any legitimate reasons.
it just says, why is the reference interval changing? LabCorp's previous early 2017 study demonstrated that obesity is directly associated with lower testosterone levels in males. Well, duh, we know that.
So what's the problem?
Well, I think what they're doing is they try to exclude people who are overweight and just not in this new study,
mm-hmm.
and just looked at sort of, quote, normal guys, like weight-wise. Because if you include the fat guys, no offense, their testosterone levels we already know are going to be lower. So it kind of skews the thing. But that doesn't make any sense to me because most people in this country are overweight.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And, yeah. You know, so
yeah, how do they determine these 9,000 male patients were actually non-obese? How do they determine that? You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. It seems kind of fishy to me. And then, but here's the thing. And now I'm going to step back and say, if you have a good doctor, this shit don't matter. Because if you came to me and you were – and you're sitting there in front of me, and this is – I'm going to make up a total hypothetical scenario. I've never really had one like this. But let's just say you really are having problems with erectile dysfunction. You really are excessively tired. You really are gaining weight. You're over 40 or you're maybe even 38, 35, mm-hmm. whatever. And you're sitting there with your wife and it's affecting your marriage and you guys are like – We need to figure this out. And we did all this other stuff and you're not depressed and it ain't because, you know, you lost your job and you're just depressed. And we check your testosterone level and on the new LabCorp, you're 266.
Yeah, right.
Let's say you're 347. We'll go with the old interval. They got the new interval,
yeah.
But you tested 351, which would be within the old. I don't really care about the interval. You still got, for you, apparently low testosterone.
Yeah.
You're having all the symptoms. I'm probably going to treat you. That would be just me. So I would hope that we don't purely treat people based on numbers, but there are a lot of doctors who do.
Yeah.
And they also treat people – they rely on studies and evidence-based and, you know, numbers so much that sometimes I think that's bad. Like it's like
– Yeah, it is
you
bad.
You got to look at people. Like, well this shit, don't read the books. Human body's fucking crazy. All the time I see people come to me and say stuff, silly stuff like, I tell them, you're having allergies. I'm 35 years old. I never had allergies before. Well, you do now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know why you do, but you do. This is classic. You
it
know?
Happens, sort of man. That same shit happened to me too, right?
So,
No, I know, man. You know, this. The human body knows nothing of figures and numbers.
Exactly. It doesn't do fucking math.
It doesn't matter. It's like that's just a tool for our brains to be able to come to some sort of conclusion. But it's just another tool. You know what I mean? It's the whole fucking toolbox over there. You don't need just one tool. You know what I mean? So,
and I think that even more so with things like hormones. Because – okay, so let's look at blood cell count. Okay, we know that at some point your blood cells get too heavy, too high. You're going to be in some trouble. So,
yeah.
I mean – but when it comes to hormones, people react differently to different levels. I mean, I might feel great at 200. You might not be able to get off the couch and your weenus is inside you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But who's low? We're both low, but I don't even know it. I've seen that. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
I don't know. This seems sketchy to me. And here's what I would say. Would be cool to see what Quest Diagnostics does.
Ah, okay. They must be. Are they bigger? They must be bigger. Huh?
No, they're direct competitors.
Ah, they should increase the range just to fuck.
Yeah,
with them.
That would be great because then they'd get more business.
Yeah. Well, but we're gonna increase the low to 500, and we're gonna increase the high to 6,000.
And just so – and this is another thing. This is interesting just from – this is the stuff that I – you know that I know a lot of people on podcasts and bodybuilding shows and things like that don't get to see. This is stuff that I can tell you right off the bat. There would be a significant difference probably between Quest and LabCorp because Quest is monopolized by Aetna.
Ah, see? That's fucking huge.
Blue Cross Blue Shield. So when I get a patient, if I have to, even at the urgent care, if I try to draw blood there and we can't get it, I'll give you a slip to go out. I have to ask them, who's your insurance company? If they say Aetna, I give them a Quest diagnostic slip. If you say Blue Cross Blue Shield, you go to LabCorp.
Mm-hmm.
That's they have contracts with them. So this makes me wonder if this is an insurance sort of Blue Cross Shield thing.
It's got to be. It's got to be. It's going to be a bunch of steps towards a monopolization of hormone replacement therapy by the pharmaceutical companies, and this is just the first step. Doesn't make a lot of sense to us right now, but it will. You know what I mean? And it's based nothing on our health or our you know, well-being. It's based on the fucking dollar, on the pharmaceutical dollar. That's all it is.
And real quick to wrap this one up about the sugar thing, he was making light of that. But the fact is, if that was the case, you know, it probably is the case. But I would hope your doctor is going by like the American Diabetic Association recommendations, not just the numbers on your LabCorp slip.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if my patient still came back with a fasting of 150 and someone said that was normal, I wouldn't care because I know that's not normal. I'd be like, this lab is wacky.
Right. for real. I mean, in the end, it all comes down to the physician's notes anyways.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, so, I mean, these scales are kind of silly anyways, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, you got to treat people, not numbers. That's my thought.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's tackle the. Should we tackle the next question? Oh, the next question down is okay. I found it.
Yeah, we're going down to number 159.
Yeah. Okay. Love the show, guys. Thanks for your time and all the great.
Oh, this
info.
Might be one of them ones where I pause and listen to your
all the info you give us. Here's this question. He says, "This coming up year, I want to split it into 4 12-week cycles consisting of 4 6-week blasts followed by 6 weeks cruise." Basically 6 weeks blast, 6 weeks cruise, and repeat throughout the year is what he's doing. He says the blast period will be based around competition, strongman, and powerlifting. I run TRT of test at 200 milligrams a week to make the transitions easier between blast and cruise. I was thinking about keeping the test E all throughout and adding 200 milligrams of test P. So the blast would be like 200 milligrams test D, 200 milligrams test P, 200 milligrams of Tren A, and maybe 300 milligrams of MAST per week, split into 3 doses, Tuesday, Thursday, to Saturday. He says, then just pulling everything but test E going into the cruise. How does this sound? And is there something better than Masteron for a strength athlete? Also, I would probably only run the trend for two of the four blasts, so a total of 12 weeks essentially. He says, I was hoping to stay away from orals unless I'm going into something like the World Championships. Also, I dropped this question of blood, sweat, and gear form as well, but wanted to hear your thoughts. So, Doc, what do you think about all of his prescription medication?
I'm gonna sit back and just listen to you.
You're gonna defer? Maybe I'll
I can tell you that he said he dropped us on blood, sweat, and gear. I will say this. I know that Skip does like to do a little blend of short acting and long acting together like that. So if Skip thinks that's okay, then I probably would go with that. But I can't really give advice on but I can listen and maybe I can learn for some, you know, we could have a beer conversation or something. But
yeah,
what do you think about that?
It's fine, I guess. It's just, you know, it's just one method he can use. I don't know that much about strongman and powerlifting.
Me too.
You know, but as and how and what, you know, whatever drugs they seem to like. Seems like they like a lot of orals because it's quick, fast acting, and you know, they can use before their lifts and stuff. At least historically, that's what I've seen. Now his blast.
I have a couple little comments I'll make, but I'm not going to give him. But go ahead, I'm going to listen.
No. I want to hear your comments.
I think one thing I will say, just observing his, is that I think if these were prescribed medicines, I think his doses are reasonable. I don't think he's going crazy on anything, which is always a good thing to see. You know, it could very easily be a gram of this, a gram of that. And then you're talking about for the whole year, that's probably a bad thing. But anyway, and the last thing is, I don't know, just Masteron for strength.
That's what I was thinking too.
Go ahead. I'll listen to you.
Yeah. So let's get one thing clear here. First of all, you know, 200 milligrams of test E throughout the year. That's fine. That's like a regular TRT replacement dose. Adding in test P doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to it. You might as well just go 400 milligrams of test E. You know what I mean? Test is test is test. Testosterone is testosterone. It's not going to be any different because of the esters or whatever. You know, it's just you might bloat more frequently or bloat less frequently due to ester release or whatever. But, you know, adding another, you know, it's like when Dave Palumbo says, you know, throwing sand on the beach. You know what I mean?
I think that's a good point.
Yeah, testosterone is testosterone. So either stick with the test P or stick with the test D. Personally, I would go with the test D, longer acting, because test P sucks and fucking hurts. And you can't train, so what's the point, you know?
Less frequently injectable.
Yes, exactly, that too. And he wants, you know, 200 milligrams Tren A. That's fine. I mean, you know, that'll pump up the aggression and stuff for the powerlifting events and things, so that's fine. Now, Masteron, that's an interesting one. I don't know why a powerlifter or a strongman would consider Masteron as being like a strength type compound. I wouldn't say that at all.
Yeah, you know? No, that to me that's more you know, while it's, you know, pretty one of the least less side effect kind of, you know, medicines. I mean, to me, I never would equate that to a powerlifting kind of supplement. You know, like I would see that more as a physique changing, you know, sort of pre-contest, get the hardness in kind of thing. But I mean, if you're going to use it all year, you may just get small stuff. But I don't know. I don't know if that's even necessary. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't know how that got confused as a compound for strongman and powerlifting and stuff. Masteron is, you know, it's a DHT derived. It's almost completely similar to DHT on its own, which,
right,
you know, it's, I don't know how that helps. It's, sometimes it can help with aggression, but you've already got, you know, some Tren A in there and you've got high levels of testosterone. DHT, adding a DHT is not going to do a whole lot to you. I would, you know, I just want to say something before all this. If, you know, if you're going to run 6 week blasts and 6 week cruises and stuff, I would hope that, you know, blood work is being looked at some point.
I was going to say that at the end.
Because you know, your hormones are going fucking crazy, really, with adding your estrogens are going to be all over the place and your side effects could be pretty severe depending on how you react to a lot of these compounds. So, that, you know, take that into consideration, and probably if you're going to do this, I'd recommend getting blood work done before doing any blasts, you know?
That was going to be one of my final things because he didn't mention that. But if you're going to do that four times a year, you should probably get your blood work four times a year.
Yeah, exactly.
And
be consistent when you get it. Like, always get the blood work right before your blast or right, you know, at the end of your cruise or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know. You know, I would just throw out the Masteron, to be honest with you, and I would throw in something like, I hate to say it, but like DECA. Like, you want for to be able to perform in strongman and powerlifting, you want pretty healthy joints too, I'd imagine, right? And you want a lot of unfortunately, you do want a lot of water retention. Water retention will make you stronger. Water retention will actually kind of, I hate to say it, but kind of cushion your joints a little bit. So you don't.
Well, it's true.
Yeah. And the more water that you have, I mean, it's not good for you, obviously, you know, but realistically with these type of events, the more water you have, the better you can perform. So adding a Masteron is only going to dry out some of that water and maybe even, you know, put you in a state of potential injury for these type of events.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would go with something like an MPP or a DECA. Problem is, this, you know, DECA is not a 6 week drug. You know, you can't do a blast of DECA for 6 weeks because by the time you go back to your next blast, you've still got DECA in you.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Yes.
so you
and
make,
you could say the same thing probably with if you hypothetically were prescribed something like Equipoise, it would probably
essentially it would be in your system all fucking year long, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because of the long half life. So take that into consideration too. Maybe NPP would be a much better suggesting than Masteron. I prefer orals myself, and I, you know, I now looking at his dosage, he seems like a reasonable guy, right?
Right. I mean, so, I agree with that.
So you would imagine if he was going to do orals that they would be reasonable also. Reasonable oral doses are not going to hurt any more than using fucking, you know, 250 milligrams of ibuprofen every day or an aspirin every day. You know what I mean? It's not going to destroy your liver. And I'm talking about low levels of, like, I don't know, 20 milligrams of D-ball or 20 milligrams of 25 milligrams of Anadrol or something, you know. But those would the benefit of doing those orals on your 6 week blast is that you get a 6 week break too.
Exactly. And and if you're doing it, you know, your blood work, you can keep an eye on things.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
it clears very quickly, so your blood work you can get very, very close, you know what I mean? But rather than a lot of these injectable compounds, they tend to linger, you know. So take that into consideration. I'd be interested to hear what Skip and the guys have to say over there.
Yeah, me too. I'm actually going to tune in for that. I don't know if I've heard them ask this question yet.
I don't think they have. Yeah.
Well, maybe we're answering it first, but I do know just from listening to Skip for all the years I have, you know, that he likes to do, even I think even with just his doctor prescribed TRT. I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth. Mm-hmm. I think he likes to do a little blend of a short acting and long acting all the time. But I could be wrong. But I'll be interesting to see what them guys have to say. I mean, and you know what? In the grand scheme of things, you do what works for you, and you do it safe, and you get your blood work, and you work with your doctor, and you know, we're just here for fun and entertainment, and hopefully teach some things. But Veej did a very good job on that. I'm going to shut my mouth.
I tried. I'm just you gotta break it down and be as reasonable as you can. You know,
I think the one thing that really stood out to me was number one. Like I said, is doses. He's not definitely a reasonable guy. He's not like going Boston on us, which and the Masteron just didn't seem to fit his goal to me.
Yeah. You know, if you were going to use like a DHT type compound as a strongman or a powerlifter, then you would look at an oral like Halo, but not for 6 weeks. You know, maybe on like a couple of days before the event, up to the day of the event or whatever. You know, but honestly, that even that is going to do a lot better for you than using 300 milligrams of Masteron weekly on a 6 week blast. That strength wise, anyways.
And he didn't mention. Well, I guess he didn't mention if it was a long Masteron or short. But
yeah. That's true.
It still doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Next question here from the boards. Sup, docs? It's been a while now that when I train a muscle group, I will lock up that muscle group multiple times afterwards. So he's talking about a spasm probably, right? He says, like a couple hours after training chest, I'll reach out to put my seatbelt on. My pec will lock up and I have to stretch it out until it relaxes. Aha, I knew it. He says, this happens mostly to pecs and arms. I drink a lot of water and I'll drink BCAAs during my workouts, followed by protein shake post-workout. Could it possibly be an electrolyte imbalance, training too hard? What could be some possible causes? I know all about this problem, all about it. I suffer from this personally.
You know what's hilarious is, first of all, I'm going to say that I just had this problem yesterday and today.
Yeah. What'd you train? Pecs and arms?
And I did chest.
Yeah, I know, man. Happens every time.
Here's the thing. Last night, to me, this was a positive. I hate to say it. It was the first time it happened to me in a while that I was so sore from my, and right now my chest is so sore from my chest workout yesterday. For me, I'm not concerned about it. It actually made me feel good because it was the first time that I went to the gym and did chest since that tricep fucking thing. Uh-huh. It's been getting progressively better that I literally had no pain and was able to go, which super heavy for me. And I and I'm not strong, so, you know, super heavy for me is a joke for most people who listen to the show, like, you know, I would think, but, or maybe not, I don't know. And when I just killed it, my chest, I got home, we were getting ready to go out, and I was taking a shower, got out of the shower, and I reached across my body trying to get something, and you could see the fiber in my chest just lock right up, and I literally, like, had to get Christine to pull my arm back. And it was like the most, and I'm having it right now. If I reach across, I can't even reach it. Where you're even in the shower, I was trying to soak my one side of my body. I had to keep pulling my arm back. So that for me, when I get this, I hate to say it.
I get the exact same thing, Doc. Even in the shower, I'll like go up to like, you know, put you know, shampoo on my hair. And, yep. You know, if I train biceps, it's like my bicep cramps right away.
You know what happens to me? I know we're digressing, but this goes right into him. Might make him feel better about what's going on.
Right.
Is when I do hammer curls, if I do them right and do them good, my brachioradialis will lock up where I can't even move my fingers. And I'll be like, fuck. Mm-hmm. And the kid's like, what's wrong? And I'll be like, ah. And I'll have to straighten my arm out and hold it there and then go say to myself, okay, is it ready? Is it ready? No, it's not. Yeah.
Because it contracts right away. Like, yeah. Right away, it like pulls everything in right away. You're like, ah, fuck, again. Doesn't stop.
So, I mean, I'm not one to be big on sort of overtraining. But in that case, for me, to me, it didn't mean I was overtraining. It meant I hit it really hard, and I was squeezing it, and I got it so fatigued that it's cramping. And yeah, it could possibly be maybe I was a little dehydrated. Maybe I should stretch better in intra workout. I don't know. I don't do that. I'm not one of these guys who's leaning on the pole and pulling my bicep. You know, I don't do that. I just stand up and I wait for my next set. I don't know. So in this guy's case, maybe same thing. Maybe you're just hitting them muscles really hard. Yeah, you could try to increase your electrolytes. You could try maybe get blood work and make sure everything looks okay. But maybe you're just hitting it really hard, and maybe that's not a bad thing. Or maybe, so to me, that's what I think. I mean, mm-hmm. It definitely for me wasn't lack of recovery, mm-hmm. because I didn't do chest for like 3 days. So it wasn't for me that I wasn't recovered, because I was. It was that I finally did a chest workout. And you know what? This brings me to another point. I was thinking about this morning, and this made me – I think this question made me think about this. I've never used a logbook. And for me, the only reason – so today I was thinking about that. Like the only – and I had a back workout last week where my back was perfectly sore, dude. I could feel – my lats were perfect, sore, everything that – and I was like, damn, I squeezed the shit out of that. Whatever those movements were that I did were good for me.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And like yesterday, same thing. I was thinking last night, I was trying to think of all the exact weights I used, the exact exercises I did, because if I could repeat that chest workout again next week, I would, because it was like it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't do the same thing every time. It's kind of like that. So – yeah, I don't know, man. I think maybe you're just hitting it hard. You know, it could be electrolytes. But you know what? When you hit a muscle hard, it's going to cramp up. You know, that's what I think. It happened to me all the time.
It's so a couple things here. There's a couple things that you can do, because this shit happens to me all the time. And exactly the same spot. Actually, it happens on back day too. If I train too long with back, it's kind of like your training has to meet your electrolyte balance.
Right.
Otherwise, yes, there will be cramping. There's no two ways about it. You know, they need to. It's like a perfect handshake. You know what I mean? So if you train too long and you don't have enough salt, magnesium, calcium, then yeah, and you are gonna cramp the fuck up for sure. There's no question about it. It's just gonna happen. So what you can do is either monitor your workouts, and you know, work out. Train to the point where you get a ridiculous pump. Look, we all want to train forever. That's like the fun part of all of this. We go in and train, and we can be there for 3-4 hours maybe, you know? But who's got time for that, number one? And number two, that's way unnecessary.
Right.
We just like to do it. You know what I mean? So it's not that hard for people of our mindset to just do 3 more sets or 4 more sets. You know what I mean? You get to a point where you get diminishing returns in your training, in your workouts. Okay, so the point that I'm trying to get you to is, you got just a ridiculous pump, and nothing you're doing is going to make that pump any better. That's when you stop. That's it.
Or when you lose that pump. If you lose it.
Oh, then you're done. Oh, for
it's
sure
time,
you're done.
It's time. Move on to the next body part. At least that's what I do.
Yep. For sure. No, I 1,000% agree with that. But if you get to that point where you just feel so pumped and you're doing another set and nothing's getting more pumped, it's not getting any more pumped than it already is, then you're good. You're done. You don't need to do any more. Now, bodybuilders are all nuts and they're just going to be like, oh, just a few more reps, a few more exercises, you know, or just really carve it out, you know?
Because most of us are losers and boring and we don't have anything more fun to do than be at the gym. So we just want to stay there as long as we can.
Exactly. And I identify and I get it. So I understand. Right. I totally understand. What you have to do next, though, is you will cramp. Now, when you're cramping, here's the magic bullet. Pickle juice and pickles together.
I could do the pickles.
Yeah, do you'd be surprised, man. The juice, it hits you pretty quickly within minutes.
The juice does hit you good too.
Within minutes, man, you will stop cramping. You'll feel like $1 million, and it won't. And you probably won't cramp again the rest of the night. Maybe maybe keep chewing on pickles the rest. It always comes down for me. It always comes down to a salt issue. So a lot of these bodybuilders are scared of salt. You know, so they won't salt their foods. You know. Which is retarded to me. It doesn't make any sense. It's so stupid because they're, you know, it's probably just a lack of education, really, and lack of understanding.
Right. I mean, unless you have a history of some
hypertension
type of heart problems
or
CHF, which is congestive heart failure, or some people do have sodium sensitive hypertension, and that's because they're retaining fluid. But other than that, if you're healthy, now one thing I'll say about the cramps too, with the electrolyte imbalance. I actually would be a lot more concerned. Okay, so he's getting them directly post exercise, right? Like I had yesterday.
Yeah.
And off the air, I'll tell you exactly what I was doing when this happened, but I'll have to tell you that off the air.
This story. I think I can. I think I can identify with that story too.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. So this is right after he's training. Probably needed more fluid, maybe need a little more sodium, like you said. But I would be really more concerned about real heavy electrolyte imbalances like potassium and stuff if you're having body muscle cramps on days you weren't training. You're trying to lay in bed, and every night you get woke up with hamstrings cramping up.
Yeah, that's different. That's a different thing.
That's a different kind. That needs to be addressed. I mean, that's like – that shouldn't be doing that unless – you're a week out from a show and you're dry, you know, I mean, then of course, or even a couple days out from a show and you're getting cramps. But then again, that even probably comes back with some needing sodium, right? Needing some fluids. So
it. You know what it is. And
I'm like, you just thinking, I would just, but for me, to me, when that happens to me, I go, holy shit, I fucking hit it hard, you know, cause it doesn't do it. And for me, the chest thing, it seems to be my chest and my forearms, my brachioradialis more than anything. And I know they get, when they cramp up, it's just horrible.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a nightmare. You know, when it does, like in the middle of the night, when it does it, you know what I mean? Like when you like roll over and your pec cramps up or your brachioradialis, cramps, that's the worst too, man. That's in the middle of the night. Cause you're not expecting it. You wake up to that shit. You're like, oh God, this is fucking terrible.
I think I'm having a stroke. You okay?
Yeah, no kidding. And here's the thing. He says, I drink lots of water and I'll drink BCAAs during my workout and then I'll have a protein shake post-workout. So
zero.
Here's the problem. He's diluting his system so much that there is no salt anywhere. He's just pissing it all out. He's diluting it. His entire system's diluted. So he's losing all the salt. I don't know what he's doing with the rest of his food. I don't know if he's salting his food or not. But this is – I would bet my life on this. His problem is primarily a salt balance issue. So start sipping on that, pickles, or watch your training, you know. Don't go crazy with the training. So
yeah, I mean,
there's the options, really.
Uh-huh. Yep. And I mean, the other thing is, as far as undertraining, overtraining, I don't know. But, you know, I mean, if you're hitting chest every other day, that might be something you want to look into, too. I mean, maybe, it depends. Yeah. I mean, I know for me, that's not the case. So,
You know what's funny? I asked this same question. I asked this question to Lee Priest. This was many years ago on the Shotgun Big Show. I just sent him the question. It was like, I don't know, maybe 2010. I think it was 2009 or 2010.
Uh-huh.
And I remember they answered it on the air, and you know what Lee Priest's answer was? He was just like, just put up with it. He was like, he was just like, I don't know, just put up with it. It's just part of the game. I was like, that's fucking bullshit, man. And after that, I was like, you know what? I don't need to ask Lee Priest anything ever again because the guy's a genetic freak and he's never going to give you a correct answer because everything he does works.
Exactly.
You know what
and
I mean?
He, and he eats Kentucky, so that's loaded with salt.
Yeah, he loves Kentucky and Macca's. He calls Macca's. McDonald's in Australia is Macca's. You got to go to Macca's.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I know all McDonald trivia, man. So watch the salt, man. Chew those pickles afterwards. You'll thank me later.
Pay attention to your training.
Yes.
See if you need to make any adjustments.
For sure. Next question is from Madam McVayrod. It's still like my favorite name ever on the boards.
I know. that was when Matt Minerod and Adam McVay had a little
beef
going. Yeah, he came up with that one. That was back in a long time ago.
Yeah, that was funny. It says, greetings, Docs. Questions for VP. Oh, that's me. He says, I recently saw some chiropractor ads suggesting an adjustment boosts the immune system, and doing so is a good way to fight off the flu, similar to a flu shot. Total horseshit or some validity here? And then he sends a link and a picture. He's like, there's a picture.
Is it really real?
He says, get your flu adjustment right here. This is on like a chalkboard.
I want to read what it says at the bottom. It says your immune system is increased by up to 48% for the next 24 to 48 hours.
Wow, my goodness. How'd they get the math on that?
I'm zooming in. It says the fighter T cells, we are young at the – I can't read the rest of it. Yeah, so yeah, man.
Marketing, man. It's all marketing. That's just some silly shit to get you in the door. Nope. You can get adjusted every fucking day, but man, if the flu is gonna get you, it's gonna get you. All right, if you don't have an already immunity to that particular virus, you're gonna get it. That's just that's what happens. You can get an adjustment every fucking day, and your body's not gonna be able to provide you with immediate immunity to something that's completely foreign. Your body hasn't even got its own immune system attacking that sort of thing. You know what I mean? So an antigen. There's no antigen for it. You know what I mean? The body has to develop it. And no adjustment is going to give that to you. So forget about it.
No. This is a typical scenario that I think was one of the big reasons why you aren't sort of in practice you know, anymore. Because
for sure.
you're not into having to sell what you know. Like, I don't have to sell that, you know, if you have pneumonia and I give you a medicine or do certain things, it's going to work. Like,
right.
He put it, there's a nice big bright sign with, they should have just put some flashing fucking lights on it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's marketing. It's 100% marketing. That's all it is.
You know, the only other thing I'll say, and I'm not saying this is positive or negative, but this could go along with also in my school, what I was osteopathic medicine. We wouldn't quite do the adjustments to say they would do that, but there are some DOs who we learn a technique called lymphatic pump.
Mm, okay.
And listen, I to me it looks silly, right? I mean, basically, I'll give you an example of one is one of the lower lymphatic pumps for like a pedal edema for lower extremity edema is you put the balls of your the pump.
All I can think of with lymphatic pump is like someone jerking off a huge wiener. That's all I can think of.
That's basically what it is. Like you have the patient prone and you're at the foot of the bed and you have your thin arm, you know, your palms of your hands on the plantar surface of their foot and you're basically shaking them.
Oh boy. Yikes.
So that's sort of in like the hardcore osteopathic world, that's like something that you would say, hey, you know, pump this and pump that and you might be able to get your immune system revved up, clear some of these white blood cells, blah, blah, blah. And I'm with you. I don't really. Nah.
You know what? There's some validity to that, but that has to do with movement of soft tissue, like
I think you do massage. The same thing.
With massage or deep tissue massage.
Massage or, yeah. You know, that patient who just get them to pick their legs up and down 15 times. Or,
yeah, dude, fucking.
You know, so anyway.
Do a couple of squats. How about that? That'll get your lymphatics draining.
Yeah. Adam McVayrod. That's a good one. I wasn't a chiropractor, but I'll call bullshit on that. I would want them to show me some studies proving that bullshit. 48. And they put a number, V.
How?
48%.
How can you calculate that? 48% over.
Maybe they took blood pre and looked at the white blood cell count, and then they took blood post, and it was their white blood cell count was elevated.
Fuck, I want to see that study then, man. I want to see it. Yeah. Yeah. They probably did it on one person that was like, oh, look. Look what happened. Let's put it on a billboard and put it outside my office.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff, guys. Look, I'm not anti-chiropractor, by the way. I have some good friends that are chiropractors, and they do a great job because they're like BJ. They do, you know, they do musculoskeletal stuff. They use it for what it's used for. They're not going to try to fix your fucking flu or boost your immune system for $50
or cure organelle cancer of some sort.
Yeah, no, but this is the kind of guys you want to steer clear of in the chiropractic world. At least that's my opinion. What do you think?
Stay clear. That guy is a nut job. That's just what it is.
He probably drives a better car than me, though.
Of course. He's probably making twice what I make.
Exactly.
Yeah. But definitely stay clear, you know.
But I go to bed at night knowing I didn't lie to anyone.
Yeah. He's very, you know what? He's very good at marketing. I'll say that.
Yeah.
He's getting people in the door. That's good. He's got overhead to pay. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Next question. Actually, this is our last question here. Oh no, we've got one from the email.
Do the email question yet? We got two more.
Let's do the email question, then we'll come to this one here.
All right.
Here's the question from the email. It says, "What's your guys' opinion on Big Lenny from the Del Rey Misfits on YouTube?" So this is with Jason Genova. He says, "Dr. Steve, what's in that guy's belly? Please search for him. He's 330 pounds. I wouldn't call him ripped." And he loves to hunt black transgender women. Wow. He's 330 pounds. Yes, I would not say ripped, but yes, off season.
He's oddly shaped, to be honest. I got to be honest. I'm kind of a fan of Big Lenny. I mean, I've watched some of his videos. He's a funny.
He's a character. He's got to be a character. He has to be a character.
But I will tell you, I have had my thoughts about his look, and it concerns me that he has a huge liver and he's got liver problems. That he has what I think is jaundice, but I think he likes to use melanotan a lot. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but to me, I'd be concerned that that gut is what I would associate with what we call ascites, which is acidic fluid, which is fluid that builds up when someone's liver is not working properly.
Yeah.
I know last year, or maybe it was this year, I mean, time flies when you're my age now, but you know, oh, sorry, I'm not old. I can't say that. You know, like, I know he had a hospitalization where he went into fluid overload. They had to put him on some blood pressure medicine and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure he was pretty sick for a while. You know, obviously we don't have his blood work. I'm not his doctor. I don't want to speculate, but if I were to post up a picture of what I was taught of a person with a really bad liver disease, you would think it was a black and white of Lenny's gut. I mean, that looks like a belly that needs to be tapped and drained. But he's been having it now for – God, he's been on – I've seen him around a long time, so I don't even know. First time I saw him, I was like – I was aghast. I was like totally like, someone please get that guy to a doctor. Mm. But now I'm like, maybe he just got a fucked up look. But yeah, to me – I would be concerned for liver disease, and that's fluid in his gut and all that kind of stuff. And he's even – you look at him close, some of the pictures, close-ups, he's got scleral icterus, which is yellowing of the eyes, which is jaundice. Mm-hmm. From, you know, and yeah, he definitely – I don't think – and to me also looks like – I hate to do this. He also looks like he has horrible Palumboism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm looking at a picture that I sent you, Veej, the one where he's shirtless outside of his house.
Oh, so gross. All these pictures are so gross.
His belly does look like ascites to me. Especially his on stage pictures.
It's really bad.
I don't want to be too rough on the guy. He seems like a genuinely good dude. You know what I mean? Like, I see him talk. He's pretty fucking funny.
I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know this is the first time that, like, the doc just sent me these pictures, and I'm just now reading this email, and I don't know anything about this guy. And at first glance, I say to myself, this is the worst physique I've ever seen in my life. and I also look at it and think this guy has got to be so unhealthy. Like, why isn't he? Right. He's knocking on death's door over here. I don't know, man. I don't know. He's definitely got enlarged organs for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'd imagine that a lot of his body fat deposition is going into the belly too.
Yeah.
So, like, even with him, like, those stage pictures, his belly sticking out real bad. That could be, like, you know, from, you know, probably clearly he's got a big belly, so he's probably a big eater too, I'm guessing. So he probably slammed a bunch of carbs, and they just kind of sat in his belly and made him stick out, you know, even worse than usual. So I don't know, man. I just think Ah, man, he's I don't know. It's dangerous for him to be alive.
It looks like that to me. I mean, yeah. I don't. Like I said, we don't want to speculate, but
no,
there's a few of his pictures, especially his stage shots, where his abdomen. We all, when we're super lean and stage ready, you should have veins in your stomach. Everyone does, but there's a few of his shots where he's got veins all the way up through to his chest, almost over that big hard stomach of his.
Yeah.
And there's a thing in that we learn. It's one of those sort of old doctor things. It's called Caput Medusae, which is Medusa's head.
Okay.
And when you see that on someone with a big hard stomach, it's basically dilated veins on the abdomen that is indicative of bad liver.
Because
what happens is the blood flow can't get back through the portal system. So where does it go? It goes back to the veins of the abdomen out. It can't get through the liver, right? So it backs up and they get varicosities, right? What do liver people die from? Liver people die from esophageal varices, which are basically hemorrhoids in your esophagus that rupture and you bleed to death. They die from, of course, bleeding because their platelets drop to nothing because they can't have platelets because their liver's not working. So, but yeah, there's a picture, and he's on stage and he's doing a double bicep and he's got veins all the way up to his chest and on that big hard stomach. That looks like the typical thing that I learned in school. But again, he was dieting for a show. I don't know, but I think he's got a liver problem. I can't speculate. It looks like that. My first glance, the first time I saw that guy, I was like, holy shit. But then I started to watch some of their videos because they're character dudes. They're fucking wacky.
They're actually
pretty entertaining, so I don't want to be too hard on the
dude. He looks like he's hilarious, honestly.
He's just pretty different. But
He has to be. He's got to be hilarious.
He honestly seems like a giant teddy bear.
I bet he makes fun of his own belly all the time.
No, you could tell him anything. It seems to me he's the kind of guy that doesn't take himself so seriously.
Yeah. I do worry about his health, though. I look at him, the first thing I think of is, I'm worried about this guy's health. He's not going to make it, you know?
Yeah, that was my first impression. He's kicking still, though, I think.
Unbelievable. Resilience of this guy is great. Like, his liver must be three times the size of an average liver.
It looks like it has to be. I've always thought that, but never. We don't know.
Other than body fat, viscera fat, what else can, like, stick your stomach out that far? You know what I mean? Like
nothing.
Water retention and visceral fat and enlarged liver. That's what else, what else is there?
It looks like either the liver is really enlarged or he has ascites, like I said, which is fluid,
Yeah, man, for sure. Man, that's crazy. You learn something every day.
God bless him.
Yeah, yeah. Hope he sticks around. Last question here from the boards. What up, docs? Question about finasteride and hair loss. So recently heard that once you start taking finasteride for the purpose of preventing hair loss, you have to stay on it for life. Is that true? Or is it possible to just use finasteride while on blast cycle and then drop it once you immediately come off and repeat? Hope that makes sense. Appreciate you taking the time to answer. What do you think, Doc?
So you would need to stay on it for life if you don't want your hair to start falling out again. Here's the thing, or you could do it the other way. If you run it for like 3 months for hair loss, you're going to get a good benefit of it. And then if you stop it though, you'll start to lose your hair within about a year again. So most people who are using it for keep a full head of hair, they just stay on 1 milligram every day for life. They don't want to have to, go back, start over, hair growth, hair loss. Usually with that, it'll work really well. And then if you stop it within about 12 months, it'll sort of regress, if you know what I mean. You'll start to have the male pattern baldness again. But it's not like something you need to stay on your whole life. If you wanted to do it for three, five, six months and grow some hair, it'll probably stay there for a while. But like I said, eventually it's going to start to go back if you stop the drug. It doesn't fix it forever.
I wonder if this guy has had blood work and knows that it's DHT that's causing his hair loss.
Right, because that would be the issue.
Otherwise, that would be a silly thing to do, to use finasteride at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
what is finasteride? Is a, what, 5-alpha reductase inhibitor? Is that what it is? Or does it compete for the same receptors DHT
does? No, I think that's what it is.
5-alpha reductase. Okay. So it's – If you don't have excess turnover of DHT in your blood, there's no reason for you to be taking finasteride in the first place. He doesn't say one way or another, but I would assume that he has high DHT, and that's why he has hair loss. But you know, you need to look into other factors of why the hair loss is happening. Could be thyroid related. You know, it could be
right. Assuming this is purely male pattern baldness.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because that's all that's going to help.
Yeah, I mean,
right. With far as hair loss, yeah. Right? It's indicated for male pattern baldness. Like I said, usually when we start someone on it, if they can, I don't even know if insurance covers it, but if they can stay on it and they're really thin and they want that full head of hair, they'll usually stay 1 milligram a day. And you know, you got to give it, like I said, you do got to give it for at least 3 months for it to really do anything. And then when you take the treatment away, it's generally going to get reversed. You're going to start losing hair again before a year. So most people, like I said, do stay on it, but that's your choice. And like Veej said, you want to make sure it's not some other reason. If it's not male pattern baldness DHT related, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah. You know, it's just I got to throw it out there because a lot of these guys.
No, it's a good thought.
Know, they don't know about, you know, all they want to do is the worst thing that could happen to them is they lose their hair. You know what I mean? And they heard that they hear that finasteride can help with hair loss.
You're,
you know?
Right about the thyroid. That's a great one because one of the first signs of low thyroid is dry hair brittleness, hair falling out, sure, you know, thinning hair.
Yep. So, yeah, just something to think about for other listeners too that are listening and think that finasteride is for all hair loss, and it's not. It's the side effect, essentially, you know.
Right, and actually, speaking of the hair loss, there's tons of other. There's alopecias. There's certain types of alopecias that there's immune related hair loss. There's
I've seen
people come in with chronic fungal infections in their scalp that make their hair fall out, and they think they're just losing their hair. And I'm like, "Ooh, you have bad ringworm, going on."
Yeah, yikes.
Yes, so good point. But yeah, as far as male pattern baldness, the DHT. You could do it like that if you wanted to run it for 3 months, drop it, and then run it again for 3 months. But if you don't run it again, within like a year, your hair is going to start falling out again, mm-hmm. if that's what's being caused by.
Yeah, exactly. Well done, Doc. That's it for questions this week, Doc. We got we'll have to wait for some more to roll in here, and then we can attack those. But that's it for now. What do you got? You got a train today or what?
Yeah, man, we're going to go hit it. And
we got back today?
I'm going to exercise my legs.
That's what I have to do too. I gotta have a leg workout, and I've got to do some butt stuff. So
because we're gonna I'm gonna work out my legs because we talked about the word training implies.
No, there's no more training legs. No. Nope.
Yeah, yeah, we're exercising them, and we're gonna.
What's become of my life?
I'm gonna actually start off with some girly glutes. Yeah. Good stuff, warm everything up and get my lower back nice and good. And I really like doing the butt stuff, to be honest with you. I like that squeeze. Maybe that says something about me.
Yeah, man, maybe on that crossword puzzle, you should have had some.
You should have got penis. You should have got penis.
Yeah, you should have had like butt clench and marriage or something.
Actually, Scott got butt first. Maybe I should have got that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've got to do some. What I like to do on leg workout day. Leg exercise day. I like to actually start off on the bike. So I put the resistance up just a little bit, and just it gets everything warmed up. You know,
what's crazy is I've done some cardio. You know, I have a bike in my house, and if you can actually get a pretty crazy pump in your quads if you really.
That's what I do. Actually, I stay on the bike I kind of like lift my ass off the thing too, so it puts more tension onto like the hamstrings and glutes also, you know, and then I just do that essentially until I'm warmed up, and it usually takes about 3 minutes or so, and I've got like a ridiculous pump already, and then I know I'm ready to go. I can go into like leg curls and butt stuff, you know.
No, all joking aside about the leg exercising and like what did we call it? Our leg workout?
Yeah, leg exercise day.
Leg exercise day. All joking aside, you mentioned on BNR two shows ago, maybe I was just talking to you, but how you noticed you slacked off on your girly glute exercise and you started having more lower back pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, funny thing is, I can relate to that because when I'm consistently working my hamstrings and my glutes like good,
yep,
my lower back is way better.
That's what happens. Yep.
When I slack on that and more quad dominant exercises, more just hamstring exercises, and I'm not doing like glute specific stuff, whether it looks freaking gay or not, I notice a huge difference in my back, lower back, sort of. I mean, we all have. I think a lot of people have lower back pain. It's just the level of it. Some of it's crippling. Like for us, it's just, I got a lower back, it aches. But I notice I don't get that as much when I do stay consistent with that. So you're joking about it, but I think it's a good point. Like I think you're right.
Yeah. I was only half joking because it makes total sense. We learn in school the whole cross reference, cross training. You know what I mean? Like train glutes and hamstrings on the same day you train your abdominals, and that'll help strengthen the low back. You know
makes
what I mean?
Sense to me.
Yeah, and you hit that area, and vice versa. If you need to strengthen your abdominals, it's probably best to do legs and lower back, or quadriceps and lower back on the same day. That will actually strengthen your abdominals.
So, man, I'm excited. I'm gonna go squeeze my butt.
Yeah, I'm gonna do. I've got all kinds of butt stuff to do today.
Oh, I got one more question for you.
Yeah, let's do it.
No, it's related to this. Now, I know you were anti-back belt for lifting, and yeah. I know you did do a little trial with one. I think Dag sent you one. Are you using that still, or did you go back to your old I'm not believing it, or have you not used it because you're not doing certain exercises?
You know, I don't squat real heavy anymore.
So that was the reason why you really needed it.
That's why I needed it, and it was helping. But once I got to the root of the problem, there's no sense to keep using it. Because I can't squat heavy, and that's only going to put me in a worse position. So I'm doing a bunch of like supersetting and pre-exhausting stuff, you know, and with all the butt stuff, you can't go that heavy anyways, you know?
Yeah.
So
I got you. Yeah. I look at those, you ever see people doing like 4 or 5 plates on the, the glute, under the Smith machine, the glute raises or whatever the fuck.
It's like where you're humping the machine, kind of.
I like that humping machine, but I don't need to go that heavy with it. Yeah. I like the hump.
That's good. That's excessive, I think. You know.
Yeah, I think if you just squeeze it and then focus it, your thing. Anyway,
You should just put enough weight on there that is like the equivalent of your girlfriend or wife.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's all you need, really. And then just hump the shit out of it.
I like it.
because unless you're going to have a 400-pound girlfriend, there's no reason for that, you know?
Exactly.
What's the point? What are you going to get out of that a deadlift's not going to do for you? Like, come on.
I got to get off here. I want to go hump a machine.
I want to go hump an obese machine, 400 pounds.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't need to do that. It's all good.
All right, Doc. On that,
all right, brother.
For Clinical Muscle this week and the Advices Radio Network, the doctors are out.